Well, I understand that at first glance, you're sitting here, you're saying to yourself, Pete, why are you going to start off a show talking about the New York City mayor's race in Kansas City? Well, because as I told you yesterday, this was a race that would have ramifications around the country. And also, I believe, maybe most importantly for us, that our leadership here in Kansas City can look about 1,200 miles to the east and learn something and get the pulse of what is actually going on. Good to be with you. Happy Wednesday morning here on KCMO Talk Radio. So yesterday I told you about a guy named Eric Adams, who right now has 32% of the mayoral votes in the Democratic primary. Now there's like, 17 people in the field. It almost looks like the Missouri Senate race at this point. But Eric Adams has about 32%. He's got a 10-point lead over the progressive in this race, Maya Wiley. By the way, the Yang Gang, Andrew Yang, he is having a rough go of it. He finished and conceded after getting just 12% of the vote. So Eric Adams is a guy who's a former New York City cop. He's a black man, and he has been the law and order candidate in this Democratic field. Now, you say, well, what about the Republican? Okay, well, the Republican in New York City doesn't really go very far. So anyway, we got to look at this through the prism of believing that whoever wins a Democratic primary is overwhelmingly the favorite, like a 20-1 favorite to ultimately become the next mayor. And while this is not official yet, 84% of the vote is in, it certainly looks like the law and order candidate, the former New York City cop, Eric Adams, is going to be the Democratic nominee in the mayor's race in the biggest city in this country and will be the next mayor in the biggest city in this country, a city that has seen skyrocketing crime over the last 12 to 18 months. And Eric Adams has been the one at the forefront to say enough is enough. We're not doing this anymore. It's not working. And we are not going to be lackadaisical when it comes to criminals. And we're not going to push this defund the police garbage. We're not going to do it. That's who he was. And it worked in New York. And you're telling me that here in Kansas City, leadership shouldn't take a look around and say, boy, the tide might be turning here, huh? Things might be changing a little bit. Well, they are. I want to play this clip for you. This was Eric Adams speaking just in the last couple of days before the election. And he was talking about the theoretical idea of policing and how it needs to change and how things need to be drastically different. And he, like many of us, like most rational people, have said, sure, we're willing to have long-term conversations. What might be able to help things 5, 10, 20 years down the road? But not at the expense right now of people's lives, because there's not a program today that you can point to that will fix a criminal track record at this point in time. Sure, you can do things to help people down the line, but there's nothing right now that justifies giving criminals the benefit of the doubt. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. Not when they're terrorizing communities in cities all over this country, including right here in Kansas City. And here was the clip from Eric Adams that went viral in the past couple of days and may have played a large role in ultimately securing him or nearly securing him this nomination. And I hope that every person in leadership in the city council in Kansas City, Missouri, is listening to this as well.
What we saw today should have been broadcast throughout this entire city. These are the real stories. I've lived this with these families over and over and over and over again, and no one seems to care. No one seems to care. Everyone is using this philosophical, theoretical theory on what we need to do long term. Yes, you're right. But what are we doing right now? What are we doing right now that these two babies were going to the store to buy a loaf of bread, and this family looked out the window and saw their children being shot at? I don't want to hear all this other philosophical stuff. What are we doing right now for these communities? And they shouldn't have to live this way. We need to crack down on guns in our city. We need to crack down on gangs in our city. And we have to be serious about this.
When's the last time you heard an impassioned plea like that against criminals even right here in Kansas City. When's the last time you heard somebody in elected leadership step up and voice those same concerns in that kind of passionate manner? Instead, we hear a lot of people voicing concerns over and over theoretical ideas that if we just did X, Y, and Z, crime would disappear and vanish, and you guys just don't understand. If we just didn't have police and we put that money into who knows what? I mean, reparations is the most recent insane idea. If we just did that, forget it. I mean, we'd be living in this utopia. You guys don't understand, okay? You don't get it. Instead, the impassioned pleas are far more likely to be sympathetic to criminals instead of sympathetic to families of victims. You don't believe me? You don't want to take my word for it? I mean, we played clips for you earlier this week where you had the guy who led the KCMO police on a police chase from Kansas City into KCK. And you had the local NAACP chapter captain there. He came out and he was like, well, you know, I mean, it was a holiday. What are they doing? I mean, come on. Yeah, you don't believe me? Here's part of the report.
Witnesses at the scene say they heard 9 shots, and many were upset that the confrontation with police happened the way it did.
Now, carjacking is important. We don't want criminals just being able to do anything and run free. But a carjacking where someone just stole a car shouldn't lead to high-speed pursuits in broad daylight on holidays and then somebody running on feet and then eventually dead.
Oh, really? Okay. So it's never the fault of someone who actually allegedly does an armed carjacking and then leads the cops on a high-speed chase and then flees on foot. That should not end up with somebody being killed. And by the way, that guy missed a step because the step included, allegedly, the individual shooting back at police. You hear a lot more sympathy for that than you do for victims, it seems like, you know? People that could have been put in danger, people that were put in danger. And to see a New York City, one of the deepest blue cities in this country, in a Democratic primary, start to wake up and say, we want the former New York City cop to be the next leader of this country. The guy who has been, and at one point during this campaign, I couldn't find the audio this morning, but at one point during this campaign, said that the defund the police movement was basically being pushed by young white people. Someone to stand up and say that in New York City to win a Democratic primary tells me the tide is turning. And Kansas City leadership would be wise to wake up to it, would be wise to understand that people aren't, you know, maybe Twitter's buying this junk. You know, maybe your fanboys and fangirls on Twitter are buying this junk. But guess what? Real people aren't. They're not. I'll give you a prime example. Andrew Yang got 12% of the vote, right? Eric Adams has 32% of the vote in this New York City mayoral race. Eric Adams has less than 2% of Andrew Yang's Twitter followers and is on track to win nearly 3 times as many votes. Twitter is not real life. And it would be a great idea if people sooner than later woke up to that. No pun intended. 576-7710. We are on the text line at 816-576-7710. So I've felt for the last few days that the New York City mayoral race was worth watching here in Kansas City for a lot of the reasons that I mentioned. And the results are starting to bear that out. We'll get to you here rolling through a Wednesday morning. We've got coming up. The Kansas City Star, yes, the Kansas City Star, advocating for possible shutdowns over COVID once again. You better believe it. We'll get to it next on KCMO. So just when you think, you know, we're getting back out, concerts are coming into play, you're going out to the ball game. I was out at the K on Saturday. It was a great time being outdoors, feeling normal, having a hot dog, having a beer. The Kansas City Star says, not so fast. They want to ruin your fun. All right? They want to send you back into the basement. I mean, it's amazing anybody can write this and be taken seriously, but they have accomplished that. Yes, they have. Yeah. So one of the big things that Democratic talking points are jumping on right now. I you know what? In fairness, I don't even want to say these are Democratic talking points.
Mm-hmm.
They're really just crazy people talking points.
There you go. A lot of might be of that persuasion, yes, but not necessarily.
I would agree. I would say that everybody who is pushing this Delta variant lockdowns back are Democrats, but not all Democrats are of the opinion that the Delta variant requires a lockdown. That's how I would phrase it. So I want to be fair here. I don't want to paint a broad brush. But this notion now that the Delta variant of COVID-19, we all just gonna have to go back to the basement now. All right, it worked out so well. Lockdowns have been so successful that we might have to do it again. Yeah. So the Kansas City Star writes a piece, and as somebody says on the text line, I advocate for shutting down the Star over COVID.
I was going to say that here. Of course, like if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a noise.
Oh, gosh. So the Star writes here, Missouri politicians said COVID fight with socialism. Now we're number one in new cases. Okay, if we listen to your goons in California and New York, the numbers show nothing would have been different, okay? So before we get to what the Kansas City Star said, let's all agree on the same set of facts. When it comes to death per million population, the top 15 states, 10 of them have blue governors. New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Louisiana, Pennsylvania, Michigan, New Mexico, Illinois. 10 of your top 15 states have blue governors. All right. That's just the reality when it comes to deaths from COVID on a per population basis. So clearly those who are more likely to shut down didn't really save a whole lot of lives. I mean, and you've got to admit that one thing we have got to agree on over the last 12 to 15 months is that the lockdowns did not have the overwhelming impact that people thought it did. All right. It did not work in preventing the spread like people hoped that it would. Oh, but if we just all stayed inside for 2 weeks, come on, if we just all did our job, it might have had a chance. No, we got 16 months, 15 months of a case study to look at, okay? But anyway, that hasn't stopped the Star because, you know, any chance to try to pile on Mike Parson and Republican leadership, they will do. They say the COVID-19 crisis is not over. The latest numbers in Missouri suggest overconfidence can be dangerous or even deadly. The state has led the nation in its rate of new COVID cases over the past week. Now, it's interesting, as these numbers were falling off a cliff leading up to a few weeks back, I didn't see them writing headlines about how, you know, Governor Parson's approach has worked and Missouri's open and amazingly people are staying safe. I mean, it's like, you know, they didn't write a piece about that. The state has led the nation in its rate of new COVID cases over the past week. Worrisome evidence that the viral disease is still a problem. The outbreak is especially concerning in rural areas where vaccination and isolation are far less common. The new COVID cases include the so-called Delta variant, a highly contagious mutation first found in India. They write there have been spikes in the Kansas City region as well. Some of this can easily be blamed on relaxed regulations in cities and in the state. While we would not suggest mayors and Governor Parson reinstate all previous restrictions, the government must review the new data and be ready in case a partial shutdown is needed. I would ask the Star, what exactly a partial shutdown is going to accomplish, and what evidence there is that would stem the tide of this variant or of COVID in general, and what you can specifically point to that would lead you to believe that your desired outcome will happen. That's what I would be wondering from the Kansas City Star. Now, they don't want to actually have a substantial conversation, all right? They don't want to really do that. They don't want to actually dive into some numbers like we have just done and say, geez, you mean some of the most heavily locked down states had some of the highest death rates in the country? Geez, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Does that make sense to you? No. No, well, that's counterintuitive to their belief that a lockdown guarantees safety, and it just doesn't.
I thought I heard a correlation that somehow loosening restrictions here in the city was causing that in the rural areas.
Yeah.
I guess that was a general sweeping statement they were trying to make. Oh, we're loosening up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the counties affected, but some of them probably didn't have anything in effect in the first place. Not everybody jumped on the bandwagon here in Missouri.
That is true.
Right.
A lot of Missourians didn't have a mask mandate,
right.
Didn't have any lockdowns after the initial, couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're right, John. They didn't do any of that initially. So nothing really has changed for them. But it's interesting because the Star does go on to say governments can only do so much. But, of course, they have to take a dig at Republicans, saying particularly since Republican lawmakers have spent the year linking COVID-19 abatement with predatory socialism. That means individuals must take responsibility for protecting themselves. Oh, no, God forbid we protect ourselves. Welcome to America, I guess. Something like that. I mean, it's just... like, if you're sitting there right now and you're like, I got a concert I'm going to on Friday night. I'm going to the ball game next week. You know, you got your vaccine. You feel good about things. Or maybe you didn't. And you're just like, hey, this is a risk I'm willing to take. That's on you. That's on you. That's not on me. I'm not going to have any shame over what may happen to you. And you shouldn't have any shame over what happens to me. That's the beauty of all this. But anyone who thinks that there is an appetite, I mean, the fact that the Kansas City Star thinks that they could actually get people on board with this idea of reintroducing partial lockdowns shows how out of touch, just woefully out of touch they are with not just Kansas Cityans, but Americans for that matter. There is zero interest and zero appetite for this. But, you know, don't tell them that because I don't know if some of them have left the basement anyway. Since last March. I think they might have just be peeking their... it's like they're peeking their heads like, after a tornado out of a storm shelter. They're peeking their heads out of the ground and kind of looking around like a groundhog. Being like, you mean what? You mean people are, like, functioning in society out here? What? I've just been writing for the paper for a year in the basement. Whoa, what's going on? I mean, it's really embarrassing. Coming up next, the battle continues between Kansas City, Missouri, the police department, the board of commissioners... the drama's unfolding. We'll give you the latest coming up next. I love when shows take a turn. You know, sometimes they twist around, they weave around. You do 4 hours of live radio. It doesn't always go as planned. We were supposed to talk to an Overland Park councilman last segment about the 69 Highway project and didn't get an answer. So, we just start spinning things in different directions. It's funny. You plan out a 4-hour show as meticulously as we do. And oh, boy, I mean, meticulous would be the word. But when it goes, I don't want to say goes off the rails, but when it takes a different turn, it's fun this way. It's more fun this way sometimes. So we started talking about critical race theory last segment, and Loudoun County, Virginia is really ground zero for it. Last night, there were some parents arrested at the school board meeting because they called it an unlawful assembly. So parents literally were dragged out of there in handcuffs last night, some of them. I mean, just complete lunacy. And similar issues are popping up here around the Kansas City Metro. So I said last week, I said, we're going to find a time to say anybody, because I can't spend like tons of time on specific school board stuff because it just gets very niche. But I would take a segment where we would take a couple of callers who are running for school board seats and discuss the issues that are prevalent to them. So we're just going to dive into it right now. And if you are someone who is running for a school board seat, you can call us at 576-7710. We'll let you give in a free, quick plug for your candidacy. Talk about why you're running and the issues that are happening in your school district around the Kansas City Metro. So let's get to you at 576-7710. Start it off with Christine White, who is running in the Blue Valley School District. Christine, thank you for calling in. What's the story there in Blue Valley and why you're running?
Hi. Thanks, Pete. Well, the story in Blue Valley is there's three seats up for election this school year or this year. There's seven seats on the board total, so there's three open positions. I've got two kids at Blue Valley Northwest. I'm a pediatrician. I've been speaking at every school board meeting since August to get kids back in school in person. And now I'm speaking up for them for other reasons. The main reason that I decided to do this is because of the way that we teach reading in our schools in Johnson County. Most of the Johnson County schools teach reading by using whole literacy, which is basically teaching kids to read with sight words. We do not teach it with phonics or what's called structured literacy. And I would like to change that so that we can teach our kids to read. We've got almost 40% of kids in the Blue Valley School District that do not read at grade level, and that is just not okay. My other two big issues, the second big one is keep our curriculum to the basics and work on academic excellence and keep unproven ideologies out of our curriculum and our classroom. And then the third one is to stop the fear around COVID. COVID is not the issue that it's been made out to be for children. We need to let these kids be in school with no quarantines, with no COVID trackers, which Blue Valley is actually hiring those people, and no fear. It needs to be done. So those are my three big issues.
Seem like very noble issues, Christine. Now, you feel like right now when you say keep certain ideology out of the schools, you don't feel like there's a big concern there right now. You just want to make sure it doesn't start permeating. Do I have that correct?
No, that is not correct.
Okay.
The ideology is here.
Oh, it is there.
Yes. Okay. It's not called CRT. It's called diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it is just a different way to package it. It's a nicer way to say it. But it is here officially and unofficially. It is written into the mission statement for Blue Valley and their strategic goals. Those were rewritten last year. And people are being required to do professional development around those issues. And it's here, and it needs to be looked at, and it needs to be taken away. Hmm.
Christine, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. Really good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You bet. That's Christine White. She's running in Blue Valley. Let's get into Amy Covey. She is running in Lansing. Go ahead, Amy. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm so glad that you're addressing this today. I kind of have a similar situation where we also have three seats that will be open. And critical race theory, as was mentioned by the previous candidate, that is slowly, like she said, being introduced, even if it is not an officially adopted curriculum to our schools in Kansas. And some people say, well, you know, it's not quite here yet. It's not an official curriculum. But there's two things that is happening. I'm sure she's in the same boat where we're both running for four-year terms. So in the next 4 years, I can assure you this will be brought to boards probably in every district wanting to be adopted as an official curriculum. And even if it is not, with President Biden's election, his administration is trying to mandate the teaching and incorporation of critical race theory to all schools and tie funding to that. I don't know about you, but I haven't met many school districts or states that want to turn down additional funding. So that's actually, there's a lawsuit. Several states have joined, and our state attorney general, Derek Schmidt, has joined in that to try to block that. But I'm going to run on all of that is not going to happen, and it's going to be in our schools that we need to do something. The legislature in Kansas, they are going to be working things this fall to go the route of other states to try to block this. But again, with Governor Kelly, the odds are that will be vetoed. We don't know. I'm going to plan on not having the veto-proof majority. So then it comes down to the school boards. At a school board level, the school board works for the taxpayers, and they have the power to keep this out of your schools.
Yeah.
And so I decided to run. And I have my youngest child is still in high school. My other two, you know, are past high school now. But I just felt like I can't sit around anymore. I have to stick up for it. It's a topic that a lot of people don't want to stick up for. I've been already attacked on Facebook for that. You know, I've been called a racist, a white supremacist. So I understand a lot of people don't want to do it. But it's so important for our future of the country.
It is. Amy, very noble. Amy, do I have that last name right? Covey?
Yes, Covey.
Okay.
Yes.
Running up in Lansing. Amy, thanks so much for the call. Yes. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You bet. I mean, we could do this all morning. I don't want to, but this is just kind of a, we'll set the table and we'll try to do this every single week because we could really talk to a lot of folks. Thank you to all of, to at least our couple. I mean, geez, I thought we'd be able to get in four or five, but I understand. I want to get into the details here a little bit for each of these school districts. So good stuff there. Just a little taste of what we could do here going forward, talking to some of the folks running on the school board. Well, this song, actually, Trump used to play this song at his rallies. You know, this was one of his intros. Not one of his intros, but he would play it and he would weave it in. So ironic, because I got this story here. We told you on Monday there was a conservative grassroots poll done, basically saying, hey, kind of approval ratings around potential 2024 candidates. And we read it to you on Monday, and it was kind of surprising to me that Donald Trump was not number one on the list. Now, I've been saying, and I've thought for a long time, that, hey, it's all about politics. It's always about looking ahead, right? Who's next? Who's coming up next? So at the Western Conservative Summit in Denver, Colorado last weekend, the poll showed that Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida is leading Donald Trump when it comes to highest approval ratings with those at the conference. DeSantis scored a 74%. Defeating Trump, who came in second, with 71%. Third was Ted Cruz. Then you had Mike Pompeo at 39%. Tim Scott at 36%. Mike Pence was 10th with 21%. So I thought it would be Trump in the 70s, DeSantis in the 60s. The fact that DeSantis is already ahead of Trump tells me that people are looking to what is next. So this week, Morning Joe, you know, Joe Scarborough and whatnot at MSNBC, they took this poll and they started making fun of Trump over it. Now, there's a reason they're doing this. There's a clear reason they're doing this. I'll explain it after you hear the clip here on KCMO.
Put mission accomplished up.
No,
at the RNC, then it's over.
Yeah.
It is over.
How does Trump try and take it back? He's silenced.
It's over.
He's sort of impotent at this point because he can't tweet.
Yeah.
He can't go out on Facebook.
No.
So
I just love the fact that he
it's over.
He propped up to DeSantis.
He did.
talked about DeSantis being his running mate in 2024. And DeSantis may be calling him and saying, would you be
Nikki
my cabinet
Haley
secretary?
Been hanging out with that.
Will he? Help me here, man.
Do you want Donald Trump anywhere near?
Will he gave DeSantis a start.
Enough.
Like, DeSantis wouldn't be here, but for him and all these people. People are out saying, oh, it's DeSantis' party. But unfortunately for him, it looks like it's DeSantis' party, right?
It's starting to look a lot that way, Joe. Here in June of 2021, we'll see if it holds up.
Yeah, there's Willie Geist at the end of the Today Show, who's all puckered up and, you know, guy looks like he just dropped a load. He looked really uncomfortable in that conversation. I don't know what that was all about. But anyway, that was Morning Joe laughing like a little schoolgirl at the poll that came out of the Western Conservative Summit in Denver last weekend that showed Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, had a higher approval rating than Donald Trump. Now, why would they spend so much, you know, time talking about this? They hate Trump, so what do they care, right? You think that they would be happy. They clearly are. But you think they would be happy about the fact that Trump's a distant memory. He's already going by the wayside. So why are they kind of yucking it up like this? Well, the reason they're doing that is because they want Trump to see it, get under his skin, and start taking shots at Ron DeSantis. You see? They're trying to get Donald Trump's ego so bent out of shape that he will start lashing out at Ron DeSantis. And he will run for president. And he will cause potential chaos in a Republican primary. Because that's what they want to have happen. They have nothing without Donald Trump. They had sky-high ratings for 4 or 5 years, courtesy of Donald Trump. They were living the high life because of Donald Trump. Now, I mean, CNN can't get 1 million viewers for any of its primetime shows. That is pathetic. I saw the numbers for this week. I mean, if they get 700,000 people to watch a primetime show on CNN, that's a good night these days for CNN. That's a horrible number. Horrible. When you talk about a country of 320 million people, They need this guy. And they believe the best way that they can hold on to power is by running on the boogeyman of Donald Trump and keep Donald Trump in the conversation. And it will once again juice their ratings like it did from 2015 to 2016. So that's what they're all about. That's the reason that Morning Joe is trying to make this a deal and talk about it and get under Trump's skin. He wants Trump to see that and say, you know what? They're right. Screw DeSantis. I propped him up. I'm going to attack him. I'm going to be the candidate. That's what they want to see. That's why they're bringing it up. That's why they're making a story out of it. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. And by I don't mind. In fact, I like the idea of DeSantis as of right now. I know it's way early, but just right now, looking ahead, I mean, DeSantis is clearly the guy. And if Republicans actually coalesced around a guy this early, it'd be pretty rare. But you know what? It might not be the worst thing either. Might not.
Yeah, it's that divisiveness, too. I reject the notion. I'm Republican, but I'm not in DeSantis's Republican or Trump's Republican Party.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a part of the party, and we'll endorse one of the people.
Yes.
You know, are the Democrats Biden's party?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that whole thing, it seems divisive intentionally.
Yeah. Oh, everything's intentional. Everything's intentional. All right. Derek's in Parkville. What's up, Derek? Good morning.
Good morning, Pete. I just heard this and I couldn't get to the phone fast enough. It's kind of amazing to me that, you know, they look at this and they say, oh, you know, Donald Trump's a distant memory. And Donald Trump may be a distant memory for them. Donald Trump and the things he did for our country, you couldn't even hold a candle to the disaster we're all living through right now. And you look at Joe Scarborough, the only thing he needs is his red nose to be more of a clown than he already is. People should never take that guy even remotely serious. Mm-hmm. He's part of a media that wants to, and we talk about cancel culture. Let's get something straight. There isn't a cancel culture. The media is the cancel culture. They play this game all the time, and they take little things that they don't like, and they try to destroy people. Like, my name isn't Derek, and I'm not from Parkville, but if I gave you my name and told you where I was from and said anything remotely against the establishment, then they come after me and my business. That's how crazy it's gotten in this country.
Yeah.
And all I can say, my friend, is Donald Trump, regardless of if he ever runs again or what he does, is to people that know the facts and know the truth and look at statistics, had our country in a place it has never been and will never be again when you've got clowns like the establishment puts in their positions to run our country. And all I got to say is God bless America. And Joe Biden, do your job, you moron. Thank you.
Derek, oh, I had one more question for him. But he went out with a bang. Talk about a mic drop, huh?
Absolutely.
Early runner for caller of the day, maybe?
Yeah, that's caller of the day material. That is caller of the day material, no doubt about that. Derek with his mic drop. I was going to ask him if he wanted Trump in 24 or not, but it sounds to me, but he's right about, I mean, you talk about the numbers, where things were, whether it's unemployment, whether it's wage growth that we've seen at the lowest end, and we saw at the lowest end of the income scale pre-COVID that was growing faster than the higher end, all those policies that were working, the foreign affairs policies, the stay in Mexico policy and dealing with the border. I mean, it's what Derek pointed out, or whatever his name is, wherever he's from, as he noted and outed himself on. He's right. He's right. 5767710. Derek bringing the heat on a Wednesday morning on KCMO Talk Radio.
Yeah, I like the fact you point out those that know what was went on, you know, would regard Trump highly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's sort of the point of Bill O'Reilly's tour with him, right?
Yes.
Let's get some... Get some information out there that got glossed over.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly's going on tour with the big guy. They're going on tour. Going to be down in, I think, Dallas a few days before Christmas. They're doing like a four-city tour. It's two in Florida, two in Texas, Houston and Dallas. So Dallas is the closest one to us on, I think, the 19th of December is that night. So Bill broke that, actually. The morning it came out, he was on this program on KCMO Talk Radio. So how about that? But, yeah, don't kid yourself. The reason that people like Joe Scarborough are going after Trump and going after this poll is to try to make sure his ego gets himself back in the mix and he gets back involved in 2024 because that's the kind of chaos that Scarborough wants to see, all right? Because they know Biden ain't bringing it, all right? He's not bringing the ratings. He's not. He's boring. Very boring. Trump will bring him something. He'll bring him something. Pete, Jeffrey Toobin is still on TV. No credibility. Well, he just got back last week after his, you know, leave of absence for, what's the best way to put this if you got the kids in the car?
Toobin the Toobin?
Toobin. How would you describe CNN contributor Jeffrey Toobin without saying what happened, which was he was on a Zoom call pleasuring himself? How would you say this without actually going even that far? What's the best way to describe it? Zooming with Toobin? Is that his video coming out? I got to give some thought to that because I know, you know, you got kids in the car. I don't want to go down that road. But yeah, Jeffrey Toobin is still on CNN and he still has no credibility. But as far as I know, his pants have been on since he came back. So that's a good thing.
And the giggling about Trump. Who was the British dialect there?
Oh.
She was using the word impotent.
Yes.
Which, you know, would get Trump riled up,
yeah,
right?
Yep, we didn't
use that for Toobin, did we?
No. We didn't do that. Well, looking forward to seeing you guys out there at Politics in a Pint tonight, by the way. We'll be at Holmes Road at Blue Moose with former Kansas City, Missouri Police Commissioner Nathan Garrett. He'll be joining us. So don't miss it tonight. RSVP list is full. So if you did, sorry, but looking forward to seeing everybody out there. And if you didn't sign up in time, we'll see you at the next one. All right. Coming up next, more signs of the woke Olympics coming to a TV near you. Yes. Oh, boy. The Olympics are what? Just weeks away. And this is going to be the woke Olympics. Oh, man, it's going to be good. We'll get to it coming up next on KCMO. You guys are funny on the text line. Jeffrey Toobin, CNN contributor, tell me how to describe what Jeffrey Toobin did when he got caught, you know, pleasuring himself on a Zoom call a few months back, got suspended by CNN, fired by The New Yorker. Pete, how about this? Toss in the news with Toobin. Telly Toobin, what else do we have here? Jeffrey Toobin was just trying to explain the lost art of hand-to-clan combat. Oh, my gosh. Pete Toobin was caught badgering the witness. Oh, geez. All right. Pete, say earmuffs and you can say whatever you want. All right. Well, as long as.
Not anything you want. We got FCC still.
True. We got FCC issues we got to watch out for. But at least that works for some of you. I say earmuffs and you make sure the kids cover the ears in the car, okay? Well, I don't know. The kids don't need to cover the ears in the car for this story. But the Olympics are going to be very woke this year. So on Monday, we told you about how a New Zealand weightlifter, transgender, was going to be competing at the Tokyo Olympics. First transgender to compete at the Games. It's a dude who now is a female. He won the silver at the 2017 World Championships. And then he won another medal at the 2018 Commonwealth Games. Then he suffered an injury. But he will now be the first transgender to compete in the Olympics. His name is now Laurel Hubbard, so it goes by a female. Great armpit hair, killer armpit hair, by the way. And going to be competing for New Zealand as a male-turned-female weightlifter. Yeah, this is because the International Olympic Committee in 2015 issued new guidelines allowing athletes who had transitioned from male to female to compete in the women's category, provided their testosterone levels were below a certain number. But recent studies have suggested transgender women still maintain an athletic advantage, no kidding.
Talk about a bombshell.
Over their cisgender peers, even after a year on hormone therapy. But either way, you're going to have a dude competing as a girl on behalf of New Zealand in the Olympics next month. So very woke there. Now you've got this. BMX freestyle rider Chelsea Wolfe, who qualified as an alternate to represent the U.S. at this year's Summer Olympics in Tokyo, said last year that her goal was to win an Olympic medal so that she could burn a U.S. flag on the podium. Somebody get her a spot on SportsCenter, all right? I mean, somebody get her on ESPN ASAP. They'll do an hour-long feature on her. And you want to double down on the wokeness. Wolf identifies as a transgender woman. She said, my goal is to win the Olympics so I can burn a U.S. flag at the podium. This is what they focus on during a pandemic, hurting trans children, she wrote last year on her Facebook page. Wolf since deleted that Facebook post. And she told Fox News in a statement, anyone who thinks I don't care about the United States is sorely mistaken. Okay. One of the reasons I work so hard to represent the U.S. in international competition is to show the world that this country has morals and values. Oh, yeah, you are the king, or would it be queen, of morals and values. That it's not a bad thing that we're known for. I take a stand against fascism because I care about this country, and I'm not going to let it fall into the hands of fascists. Gosh, I haven't heard someone use that word in a while. Now that Trump's gone, they don't really call people fascists. Because I care about this country, I'm not going to let it fall into the hands of fascists after so many people have fought and sacrificed to prevent fascism from taking hold abroad. As a citizen who wants to be proud of my home country, I'm sure as hell not going to let it take hold here. Well, she also apparently had a post, this transgender BMX rider, about exploding former President Donald Trump's head. Yes. She apparently did write that. Now, she responded to that by saying, I would never say that someone should explode the head of the president. That would be illegal. But I will say with dynamite, because that's just a sentence fragment and doesn't actually mean anything. It's not necessarily related to the sentence that came before it. I mean, you want to talk about mentally ill. I don't even understand what she's trying to say here. This person is so screwed up. But BMX rider Chelsea Wolf, who is going to be an alternate to represent the U.S. at this year's Summer Olympics, she'll probably be the first person who doesn't actually compete because she'll be an alternate, but she'll be on, like, the cover of the Wheaties box. All right? I mean, they'll probably put her on the cover of Sports Illustrated. People will be like, who is, she didn't even compete. No, but she's super woke, super duper woke. Talked about blowing up Trump's head with a dynamite stick. So she gets the cover of Sports Illustrated, okay? Get her on in here.
Notice these athletes, in quotes, I'm saying, are the weightlifters and all the ones that nobody wants to watch on NBC.
Well, that is true, too. They can jack up their Instagram followings. They can become influencers. They can make money off posts, things like that. To the super woke. So, I mean, this is what you're going to have at the Olympics next month. I'm jacked. I mean, I used to like watching people just run 100-meter dashes and do the mile and the half mile. Now I can't wait to see who's burning the flag, you know, what dudes are winning chicks events and things like that. It's going to be great. Totally new experience.
I'd like to send Rick Monday over there. Are you familiar with Rick Monday?
Yes.
Right? Former Kansas City A's. And this incident happened when he was with the Cubs playing at the Dodgers back in 76, 75, somewhere in there. People jump down, burning the flag out in right field. He runs up, scoops up the flag, and takes it over to the Dodgers dugout.
Yeah.
Hands it over to the Dodgers, and they put the fire out. Of course, when he comes up to bat his next time, he gets a standing ovation on the road.
See,
for snuffing out the burning flag.
Here's what happens now. Whoever does that gets canceled, all right? If you were to stop the BMX biker from burning the flag, you are the fascist. You are the anti-American. You get canceled, and you will never be heard from again, all right?
Hmm.
But I like that, John. I just wonder who's got the fortitude to do that. I don't think that person exists in today's environment because they certainly wouldn't get rewarded for it. I mean, seriously, you'd have seen it. Look at this. Oh, my gosh, they stopped a transgender from free speech or something like that.
Yeah, there you go. You're right.
That's the headline.
You're right. That's, I stand chastened and rebuked.
That's the world we live in. I hope I'm wrong. But, boy, I mean, I'm usually a big Summer Olympics guy, but when this is what we're getting, it just might pass. Call me crazy, but it just might pass. Coming up next, boy, there's a lot of jobs out there, a lot of jobs. And, by the way, the hourly rates are going up, up, up. There is no excuse to complain about the job market in today's environment. I'll tell you what's going on locally right after the news on KCMO. I'm just seeing this now. What is this? Netflix. I just retweeted this video because Ben Shapiro shared it. Netflix is doing a dating show where people dress up as animals and beasts. And the idea is that you will match with people simply based on personality and not looks. It's basically like a blind date chemistry test. This is the weird, if you want to see the trailer, I just put it up on Twitter at Pete Mundo. This is the weirdest thing. I mean, you got a guy dressed like a scarecrow. You got someone else dressed like a dolphin. You got someone dressed like the devil. Someone's in like a panda suit. What is going on?
The masked singer ruined America. Oh, I'm sticking to that.
You know what? I think you're right there, Mark. I think you're right. This is the weirdest thing. One guy's dressed like an alien. One guy looks like a platypus or something. What is? Jeez, we're getting weird. We are. I mean, we've known that for a long time, but we are getting weird. You can see that video if you want from Netflix on my Twitter account at Pete Mundo. Yes, John.
Maybe catering to the furries.
Yeah, maybe.
Something
maybe
to look up there later when you have time.
Oh gosh! All right.
Silly.
Well, in the meantime, for people that don't sit around and watch Netflix all day and want to get a job, there are 9 million jobs out there in this country right now. 9 million, right? A lot right here in the Kansas City metro. And what you're seeing right now, because the private sector is being forced to compete against the government, who is still, at least on the Kansas side of the state line, paying $300, $300 per week extra in unemployment insurance, people are having a tough time getting folks to work. I told you about the Sonic down the street from me that was closed for a couple of weeks. Couldn't get anybody to work. The Dunkin' Donuts around the corner from me is now no longer 24 hours because they can't get overnight staff. So it's having an impact on the economy. And normally I'd say, okay, if we have a worker shortage, that means the economy's humming along, right? That means, hey, people are working. It's a good thing. In this case, it is not a good thing because people are not choosing to work because the government benefits are just too juicy. You know, they're just too good. Who's going to turn down the extra $300 a week, especially if you're in Kansas? Now, Governor Parsons said no more. That ended last week in Missouri, but it's still going on in Kansas. But what that means right now is that you are seeing entry-level jobs paying $18 an hour in some cases, right? So this notion that the economy doesn't work, I can't ever get ahead. If there's ever a time for someone who's got a, let's just say, entry-level skill set, is that the PC way to put it? Entry-level skill set? If you've got an entry-level skill set, it has never been better for you to go out there, to get a job, to hustle, and to develop your skill set and build your skill set in the workplace and then work your way up through the economic food chain. Never been better. So I don't want to hear any complaining about this right now. KCTV5 did a report on this yesterday, and here is part of what is going on right here in our backyard.
Right now, you can get a warehouse job at Nebraska Furniture Mart, starting pay at least $18 an hour. As many people advocate for the government to raise the minimum wage to at least $15 an hour, employment centers like this one say many businesses are doing that on their own. In just about any commercial area of the metro, it won't take long to spot now hiring signs. Standing in this one parking lot in Liberty, I could see three at three different businesses. But it's not just the food service industry hurting for workers.
We actually have 55 full-time and part-time positions in our warehouse. We also have other positions throughout the store.
Nebraska Furniture Mart has raised wages by almost $3 for warehouse workers.
And it has been more difficult to get people in the doors, especially in the numbers that we need.
The store is seeing a huge surge in business, but not in job applicants. So they're touting higher pay and growth opportunities to get people to apply.
There are story after story after story about people that started at entry-level positions here and worked their way throughout the company.
All right, so that's the first part of the KCTV5 report. So I hear that, and I'm like, okay, that's fantastic. Good. I mean, there's no excuse right now. If you are someone who's always saying, I'm being held down by the man, I can't get ahead, well, you've got a chance to enter the labor force at $15 to $18 an hour and actually have a career path. Now, you got to hustle. I know it's not a popular word to work hard and to hustle and do things like that. It's not very popular to have to do that because we should all just be given whatever we want in 2021. But, you know, if you want to put a little work in, you can get ahead, all right, especially in this environment. You heard that right there from KCTV5. Nebraska Furniture Mart's talking $18 an hour for the warehouse in some cases. That's wild. But then I heard this part as well of the package from KCTV5 that you didn't hear there. And the clip comes from Clyde McQueen. who is the president of the Full Employment Council. Like, what's a Full Employment Council? I don't understand. Full Employment Council. What does that mean? What does that consist of? I mean, the marketplace runs itself. The job market operates itself. I don't know what a Full Employment Council is. But anyway, here's Clyde talking about how, well, you know, maybe the stimulus checks and the extra unemployment is kind of part of a reason people are staying at home, but it's really something else.
I think the for some, the employment payments may be part of it, but I think even beyond that, it's the child care issue.
That is such a talking point of the Democratic Party right now, that the reason no one's going back to work is because there's no one to watch their kids. First off, we aren't really having kids. Let's call it like it is. We are barely replacing what we got. We are having fewer children than we need to be having right now. Yet if you listen to the talking point, it's, well, you know, no one can find a babysitter, and that's why no one's working. I mean, what was going on 2 years ago when we were basically at full employment? Unemployment was at record lows. Everybody was doing great. All colors, all socioeconomic levels, all income brackets were doing well. Was there like, did childcare just double in the last 2 years that I'm unaware of? That is such a talking point to push through the infrastructure package that no longer means roads and bridges, but magically now means childcare. It is such a lie. But it's continuing to get pushed that, you know, I'd go back to work, but someone's got to watch my kid. It's like, no, it's not really how it works here.
Not for universal daycare.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just drop your kids off at the nearest state office. I'll be back. Pick you up at 5.
Oh, gosh. Can I send them up to the governor's mansion there? Lord Kelly's got a hell of a spot.
Stand yard. They should be okay.
Yeah, they should be. 5767710. I mean, are you buying this whole notion that child care is the reason we've got 9 million job openings in this country? Because I don't believe it for a second. Someone's got to tell me what changed from 18 months ago to today that suddenly no one's in the labor force because of child care. That's crazy. Jeremy, you're on KCMO. What's up, Jeremy? Good morning.
Good morning, Pete. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Something I thought about, just kind of link between the two. KC Star is infamous on putting, basically having a backstory or having a hidden agenda behind their articles. And this topic that you're talking about now, I think might kind of coincide with the article that you were referring to earlier this morning, as in, if we do a shutdown again, now all of a sudden there's no unemployment problem. And so that talking point disappears.
Now,
and is no longer a black eye for the Democrat Party.
Take me through it, because what you're referencing, a lot of people probably didn't hear, but the Kansas City Star wrote a piece, an editorial about how the Delta variant's going to take us all down of COVID, and we may need to do partial lockdowns again. So how does that tie into what you're saying?
Well, with what you're talking about now, with the worker shortage, now all of a sudden if you shut everything down and lock everything down again, now all of a sudden you're doing away with that worker shortage because those businesses are no longer open again, or they're back to restricted hours or back to restricted quantities. And I might be looking too deep into it, but they kind of go hand in hand.
I see what you're saying, Jeremy. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. I see how you're tying those two together now. I got you. I'm glad I asked you to clarify, because that's you know, I hate to be that pessimistic about it. Is it impossible? No. I mean, if you really just want people to get very comfortable on the government dole, then that would certainly be a way to do it. You know, then people, if they're sitting at home, may actually, you know, open up a newspaper like the Kansas City Star. I don't know. It depends how bored you were. I mean, maybe if you're stuck in solitary confinement, it could be a good option. Outside of that, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it's not impossible, Jeremy. It's not. But are you experiencing that? Are you seeing that? That really, it's all about child. That's the reason no one's getting into the workforce. Child care. It's just a made up, as far as I can tell, it's completely a made up deal. Because 18 months ago, that was not a problem. But now suddenly, it's the thing holding back the entire economy in this country. I'm not buying it for a second. 5767710. We'll get to you coming up here on KCMO. So is child care really holding back the labor market? Is it really the reason? I don't know. I mean, it's, we got Nebraska Furniture Mart, as we just told you about in the last segment from KCTV5, pushing $18 an hour to work in the warehouse. I mean, there's never been a better time. You've got sign-on bonuses up at the casinos to deal blackjack for, what, $2,500? There's never been a better time as an entry-level worker to get yourself in the mix and to start building a career. If you don't choose to do it right now, then I've got, like, there's no sympathy to be had then. There just isn't. Because then you can get in, develop a skill set, work your way through a company, and build yourself up. You can't then sit here in a few months when the unemployment runs out and say, help, 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 I need more. I mean, and when it comes to child care, I mean, Mark, you know, you've got a couple kids. What have you and your wife been doing for years?
Yeah, we've been working opposite shifts for basically 8.5 years. Sometimes, you know, on the personal life, it's hard a little bit, but, you know, you make it work.
You do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the story of life. You do what you got to do. 5767710. Manuel is on KCMO. He's in Missouri. What's up there, Manuel? Northern Missouri. What's up? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay. When I hear that they can't work because babysitters, I go, that's a bunch of bull, because I was single at one time and raising a son by myself.
Yeah.
And working a full-time job and going to school.
So, oh, yeah? How'd you do it? What was the layout? What was the game plan?
Well, I more or less let my son go to the babysitter's while I went to work. And
kid turned out okay? He's got his head on straight, or she?
Yes, it did.
All right, good, good. Head's on straight. All right, good deal there, Manuel. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Have a good day, pal. Thanks so much. 5767710. Let's keep it rolling. Steven is in Olathe. Go ahead, Steven. Good morning.
Hey, Pete. How's it going, buddy?
All right. What's going
on? I don't understand why it's my job to provide Nebraska Furniture Mart with an endless buffet of employees. This is fantastic. I think, you know, they add more stuff. I mean, I'm a free agent. I work on houses, but right now, I'm going to collect my check from Laura Kelly and the federal government. And if I get a little short on money, yeah, I might think about going to work for Nebraska Furniture Mart come September. But right now, I'm going to go to the soccer game today. I'm going to have some craft beer. And I'm going to enjoy myself. For the working man needs to get their share. The working man deserves their share after all they've been through. And Laura Kelly promised me that money. I'm going to take it. And I'm not going to worry about Nebraska Furniture Mart. I don't give a...
Wait. I'm not worried about... Who said they were worried about Nebraska Furniture Mart? I mean, if they start jacking up their prices, I'll be worried. I'm saying the worker can get in the mix and can get a job for probably more than they're worth right now in the free market.
Exactly. That's great. But they were complaining on this Channel 5 report that they're not getting any applications and they had to start bumping up the prices. Maybe they should have bumped up their wages a little bit more before this happened. But I don't feel sorry for them. I mean, they can get employees that, you know, just take the employees you got. You know, don't go fishing around.
That's fine. But then when you show up to buy a new couch on Laura Kelly's dime, don't complain the couch isn't there and they got no one to deliver it. Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm just not going to cry too many tears for all these employers that have been taking advantage of the working man for decades. I'm sorry. I just don't have that much sorrow. You know, Laura Kelly promised me my money and I'm going to collect it, and come hell or high water, they ain't going to change no matter how much you guys.
And you don't see any value in, instead of sitting around and taking Laura Kelly's money and going to drink craft beer at a soccer game, which, I mean, my goodness, who's going to a soccer game?
Men's or women's, by the way? The women's game's this afternoon.
That's right, exactly. The women, Pete, you have my formal invitation to go to the women's game today with me. I'll buy you a beer courtesy of Laura Kelly.
That's I'm paying for that beer. That's my tax money that you're mooching off of, okay? That's what that is. You're mooching off of my tax money. And no, I'm not going to a women's soccer game. I'd rather gouge my eyes out, unless it's my children playing in it, my daughter's playing in it. I'm not going to the women's soccer game, okay?
Well, they got to get their first win today, so I got to use Laura Kelly's money to get them there, give them their first win and support her. But I mean, these businesses need to suck it up and start managers need to start working. You know, managers need to start working more and making the employees do less.
Everyone's got to work more except for you. Is that the vibe I'm getting here?
As long as Laura Kelly, my girl, Laura Kelly,
your girl.
She promised me my money, and I will collect.
All right. Yeah, everyone's got to work hard, except for the guy who's going to the women's soccer game to drink craft beer.
Somebody will be working the concessions there, taking the tickets, scanning the tickets.
Yeah, if there's no one to deliver the craft beer, he's going to be pretty upset, you know? He's going to be pretty bummed about that. And by the way, I'd say the same thing about a men's soccer game. I'm not a watch soccer kind of guy. Definitely not on TV. Maybe it's one of those sports that's better in person, like hockey. But I can't. I watch soccer for 2 minutes. I get bored. Okay?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be better in person for you, Pete.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you for the honesty, John. Thank you for the honesty. Coming up, David Stokes of the Show Me Institute will join us. We'll talk about the 69 Highway Project. He wants Missouri to take a page out of Kansas's book. I totally disagree. We'll get to it next. So we're approaching 9 o'clock on a Wednesday here on KCMO Talk Radio. Eric Greitens going to be here just after 9, as he is, of course, in the Missouri U.S. Senate race. He'll be joining us in just a few minutes. But as we do each and every Wednesday morning at this time, it's What If Wednesday.
KCMO 710 AM and 103.7 FM. It's time for What If Wednesday on Mundo in the Morning.
What if instead of having you on this radio station, there was somebody else?
All right, John, we got three items on What If Wednesday. What is on the rundown, my friend?
All right. Also good. What if Eric Adams wins the New York mayoral race?
All right. That would be a huge, huge blow to the insane, ridiculous, out of this world, worst idea of the 21st century, defund the police movement. Eric Adams is a former New York City cop who is in the lead right now. The New York City mayoral primaries were yesterday. Eric Adams is up 10 points. It's not official yet, but he's up 10 points in the Democratic primary. Now, obviously, in New York City, Democrat is going to be the next mayor. But Eric Adams is the guy who ran on Law and Order. He is the guy who is a former cop. He ran on defunding the police being a stupid idea. He even reportedly said recently, defund the police is mostly pushed by young white people who don't live in the environments where defund the police can have the biggest impact and the most dangerous impact. He said that. And the guy is about to win a mayoral primary in the Democratic Party in deep blue New York City. This is a huge blow if he does finish it. It's a huge blow for the defund the police movement in the Democratic Party as a whole, and it would be a sign that running on that and pushing that is a ridiculous idea. And by the way, right here in Kansas City, some people could learn a thing or two by looking in New York. When you're further left than what you're getting out of New York City, that might be a wake-up call for you, okay? Might be a chance to look in the mirror and say, maybe I'm not in line with the folks. Maybe I'm not on the same page as the people. I know it's a wild idea, I know.
Talk about a bombshell.
But for some, it might be something that you should take a chance to reflect on. And that's why the last couple of days, I've really enjoyed talking about the New York City mayoral race because of what it can mean here in Kansas City, based on what some people are advocating for. And it seems like those voices, shall we say, are being heard a little bit louder at City Hall than other voices. So this would be a big, big blow for the defund the police movement and maybe a wake-up call, maybe a wake-up call for Democrats, for a guy to win the New York City mayoral primary running explicitly against defunding the police, John.
All right. What if Kansas City shuts down again as per the Star editorial?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, Rex Archer will have himself a field day.
Thanksgiving. Boy,
I love Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he'll have a great day. He'd love to get some power back, Rex Archer, the head of the KCMO Health Department. He'll be counting down to Thanksgiving. We're counting down to his retirement, which is just a few weeks away. August 1st is his last day on the job. Can't wait for that. What do we have? We got about 38 days and 6 hours and 47 minutes and 22 seconds, but who's counting? I'm not. So, yeah, the Star amazingly wrote a piece. I can't get over it. How tone-deaf they could be. That it's possible that the Kansas City area should consider at least maybe a partial shutdown if the COVID-19 Delta variant continues to spread. There is zero correlation between shutdowns and deaths. There is none, okay? When you look at the deaths per population, per million population, 10 of the top 15 states on deaths per million population have blue governors who are more likely to shut down economies. All right. So if there was a direct correlation between shutting down a state or a city or an economy and saving people's lives, it would be obvious because the deaths per million population would be highest for all the theoretical red states like the Rubes in Missouri. That's not the case. So we're 15, 16 months after the fact. We have so much data, so much information. The Star's like, yeah, you know what we should do? We might have to do a partial shutdown again. Like, who are you kidding? They're like groundhogs. They poke their heads out of their basement. You mean there's a world out there people are living in? Yeah, there is. Welcome to it. All right, John, what's next?
All right, what if Trump responds to the CNN MSNBC trolling?
Okay, I'm going to keep this short because I know I have to. Don't! All right? Don't do it. I'm begging you. Do not respond to the CNN, MSNBC trolling. It doesn't do any good for anybody. Stay out of it. Don't talk about it. Ignore it and move on. That would be my advice to the former president. All right. That would just my two cents, but that's what it would be. There's your What If Wednesday here on KCMO Talk Radio. Coming up next, let's talk to Eric Greitens, the former governor. He is running for Senate. We've got a lot to get into with him coming up next on KCMO Talk Radio.